Hello there, and you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Hello, I'm Morgan O'Reilly, and once again, you're very welcome to Poem of the Week, Near FM's year-long series promoting poetry. The series is a collaboration between Near FM, local poets, and members of the community. Each week, we will be celebrating poetry, both new and old, Irish and international, and published and unpublished work, alongside a significant date in our calendar. This week's poem is To a Shade by W.B. Yeats, read now by Ciarán Murray.
If you have revisited the town, thin shade, whether to look upon your monument, I wonder if the builder has been paid, or happier thought it when the day is spent, to drink of that salt breath out of the sea, when grey gulls flit about instead of men, and the gaunt houses put on majesty. Let these content you and be gone again, for they are at their old tricks yet. A man of your own passionate serving kind, who had brought in his full hands what they had only known, had given their children's children loftier thought, sweeter emotion working in their veins, like gentle blood has been driven from the place, and insult heaped upon him for his pains, and for his open-handedness, disgrace. Your enemy, an old foul mouth, had set the pack upon him. Go, unquiet wanderer, and gather the glass-neven coverlet about your head till the dust stops your ear. The time for you to taste of that salt breath and listen at the corners has not yet come. You had enough of sorrow before death. Away, away, you are safer in the tomb.
To a Shade by William Butler Yeats, read there by Ciarán Murray, writer and historian and one of the trio behind Come Here To Me. And I'm delighted to be joined by Ciarán now in studio. Ciarán, thanks very much for coming in.
And thanks for having me.
Ciarán, tell us a little bit about the poem. What made you choose this one?
When I was asked to pick a poem for this series, I was given the idea of Glasnevin. To me, the one thing that will always remind me of Glasnevin and will always be Glasnevin is Shane McTomas. And when you walk in the front gates of the cemetery, there's a plaque dedicated to Shane with the line, "Go on, quiet wanderer, and gather the glass-neven coverlet about your head." And Shane was such a great inspiration for it, and I was always great help with Come Here To Me. Someone who's always great with regards to advice and took us under his wing to a certain extent. So when I was asked to do something on Glasnevin, just Shane's name just came into my head straight away. His loss was like not just for his family and his friends, but for the fabric of Dublin was like, it's immeasurable. He was a fantastic historian, so his loss is something that will affect not only his friends but everyone else as well. But aside of that, we've dealt kind of with the content of the poem before on Come Here To Me, as the theme of the poem is basically about Yeats's perceived shunning of Hugh Lane and Hugh Lane's gift of a collection of art to Dublin City, and a planned building of an art gallery right across the Liffey where the Halfpenny Bridge is now.
The Hugh Lane Gallery.
The Hugh Lane Gallery, it's a big story. William Martin Murphy of Lockout fame was one of the most vociferous opponents of the plan.
It's great. It's a lovely little, I always find it quite fun, even for people who aren't big fans of poetry necessarily. You can always kind of pick great little bits of Dublin history out of Yeats' poems, like this poem you've just said. You've got Hugh Lane, William Martin Murphy's in there too. Other poems that people will be familiar with, you know, Easter 1916, and he directly mentions, you know, passing people like Thomas McDonagh in the street and stuff like that, you know. But sorry, you were about to educate us on William Martin Murphy, I think, there,
I think the middle verse of it is, it's a bit of a kind of a reaction against William Martin Murphy, and he was one of the greatest opponents of it and used his power in the media and Dublin City Corporation to ensure that the vote tipped in his favour and against the plan. But kind of Yeats uses the ghost of Parnell to lament the treatment of Lane, because another weird story that you kind of come across, it's well known about Parnell that he had what could be described as now as fake news when was it, like in the 1880s, to discredit him, was fraudulent letters of support.
Oh yeah, the Pigott forgeries. Yeah,
the Pigott forgeries, just kind of an interesting kind of parallel, but maybe today's kind of fake news kind of stuff kind of came into my head when I was kind of reading through it and kind of looking at why Yeats was kind of chosen to be so so bitter towards Martin Murphy and and his ilk.
It would have been one of Yeats's kind of famous sticks to beef the Dublin public with. Yeah. I suppose that or not the Dublin public, I should say, Irish society and Irish culture. That the Dublin public were being deprived of great works of art and great works of culture, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the idea that the gallery was going to be like a beautiful like granite built construction across the Liffey, and at a time when like Dublin was like turn of the century Dublin coming out of famine into like 20th century, there was so much poor, so much destitution, the tenement slums.
We always hear that line that it was the worst slums in Western Europe. But I'll bring you back to Glasnevin itself, which we're celebrating this week. So we're talking 1832 this week, so whatever that is, nearly 200 years ago, the cemetery was opened to the Dublin public. Can you give us a little bit of the background surrounding Glasnevin and why it was opened and what it was like in the early years?
Glasnevin opened to the public, like you said, it was 21st of February 1932. It was consecrated on that day. The first burial was the day afterwards. It was a young boy called Michael Carey from Francis Street in Dublin. The area that he was buried in is called Curran Square. It's up towards Glasnevin, or the gravedigger's entrance of Glasnevin, another great institution. But
do we know, actually, is his grave still identifiable?
The
young boy?
Yeah, oh, it's not far away. If you go in kind of the back gate of Glasnevin, where the gravedigger's pub is, there's an area kind of over to the right-hand side where you can actually see the original gate into Glasnevin. It's a small little plinth, a little granite plinth, and there's a railing, black cast iron railing, about 4 foot high, and a little gate on it.
Wow.
And that's where the first burial is. Like,
but do we know what the young lad died from?
I think it was typhoid or something like that. It was one of those diseases that was...
It just kind of brings it back that it's a young boy, probably from inner city Dublin, dying of an illness that he probably didn't need to die of.
Need to die of. It was probably curable in a better situation.
Like, terrible.
Brings you back to the slums that we were talking about.
So that was Glasnevin, 1832. Mm-hmm. This young fella from Dublin, from Francis Street, is the first person buried in it.
But I just love the place itself and the character of the place and the fact that it's a kind of microcosm of Dublin life, that you have like great contradictions of the way the graves are laid out. Like, nobody knows when you're going to die, and nobody knows where they're going to put you or who bought your plot. So, like, you have mortal enemies like Frank Ryan, who fought on the Republican side in the Spanish Civil War, and Owen O'Duffy just yards away from each other. And Jim Larkin and William Martin Murphy, the same. You can see the Murphy tomb from Larkin's grave and vice versa. But, like, in terms of representations in the reel, like, it swung from great moments like Pierce's speech to probably the most controversial thing with historians, and or one of the most controversial things with historians in Dublin is like the Glasnevin wall that was put up a few years back. That it's going to stir controversy for decades to come.
This is the all of the names of the victims of the Rising, wasn't it?
It's not just the victims of the Rising though. It's the soldiers. Both sides, and it's like while I've no great anger about the notion of young British soldiers coming straight from barracks, being told they're going to France to fight in World War One and being sent to die on the streets of Dublin. It's not just that. If it was just that, I think a lot of historians could kind of be happy with that. But it's going right through the War of Independence.
Yeah.
In the War of Independence, you have the Black and Tans and the auxiliaries who were not just innocent boys coming from working class towns in Britain. They were hardened, drunken mercenaries and louts.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard to see their names. And also the Civil War, when you have like equal acts of atrocity carried out by the Free State against Republicans, like the Ballyseedy massacre, when I think it was 7 men were tied to a landmine and exploded.
And left to die.
Like those names are going to be alongside Black and Tans and auxiliaries and stuff. And it's something that's going to trigger debate and controversy for, especially in the next 5 years. But
when the commemorations of the Civil War start coming around, that'll be something interesting to watch. Talk to me about you gave that very the lovely tribute to Shane McTomas earlier on. Talk to me a little bit about, like, is there a nice I was a tour guide for a short period in Croke Park, and you get a kind of a, there's a nice sense that there's a good community of historians out there, and everybody knows each other, and probably none more present than in the Come Here To Me blog itself.
Yeah, it's like we're very, very lucky in Dublin. Like I said earlier on, the likes of Shane McTomas took us under his wing at the start when we were kind of, I'm a little bit older than the other lads, but I'm still relatively young in the historical sense in Dublin, where you kind of, a lot of the people are in the 40s, 50s, 60s and onwards. And they kind of took us under their wing, like the likes of as I said, Lorcan and Shane, but Terry Fagan and the North Inner City Folklore Projects is someone who's like doing great work in the North Inner City, gathering up stuff like about the slums and stuff and about living in Dublin city centre. There's people like the Stony Barter and Smithfield People's Project, Pure People's History Project and Kilmainham Tales and stuff like that. There's a lovely movement of people that kind of seem to care about the city and care about the stories and care about the small tales. And like it's amazing when you go to any kind of book launch or anything like that these days and you meet someone who you mightn't have seen in a while, and they go, "Oh, come here, I've read that article that you wrote about such and such. Did you know this happened? Or did you know that this was this? Or did you know he was related to that such and such?" So it's really good, and it's really heartening to know that there's people out there kind of keeping the torch lit and holding the flame to Dublin's history. Like,
that's great. That's great. Yeah. And have you found that you're learning more that you write? Yeah.
The more you write, the more you hear. Like, the great thing about like what we do in the blog format is like you have space for comments underneath.
Yeah.
And like more often than not, if you write a story, you'll have someone going like, "Do you know this?" But the brilliant thing about Dublin is, Dublin being Dublin, everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows someone who knew someone. So the likes of, like, I did an article about Spike McCormack, a well-known boxer, street brawler and kind of character in Dublin city life. But underneath the article in the comment section, there was like a comment from his granddaughter, a comment from his great nephew and stuff like that, saying, "My granddad Spike, love him, I miss him every day," and stuff like that. And that just kind of makes you feel that when you're writing something that you're scribbling away in your bedroom going, "Oh, nobody's going to read this," when someone puts a comment like that up, makes you kind of go, "Brilliant."
It really brings the history alive, yeah.
And that's what the blog's all about, really, is trying to bring people's stories to the fore, bring, like, the everyman, like, kind of low history, I think it's called, there's some people call it, like, there's stories that people never hear, the stories that people weren't taught in school and stuff, so.
Yeah. Listen, Ciarán, I think our time is up here, unfortunately, but it's been a pleasure having you in the studio. Come Here To Me, Volume 1 and 2, they're both available in pretty much all bookshops at this stage.
Yeah, they're available everywhere at this stage. Yeah,
yeah. Fair play on the books, they're a great read. I have both of them at home.
Thanks, man.
And cheers for coming in very much today.
Thanks for having me.
Bit of WB Yeats. Cheers. That's it from us for this week. A big thank you to this week's contributor, our production team and everyone at Near FM, and also to Paula Meehan for her advice and support on this series. Poem of the Week is broadcast every Monday at 12 noon and every Saturday at 10 a.m. Join us next time for Poem of the Week. Good luck and God bless.
This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.